we are talking to this afternoon for our next interview to the Good Party mayoral candidate for the Western Cape, and that is Brett Herron. And the reason we're talking to him this afternoon is due to what is happening in Cape Town with regards to the brutal homelessness policy and police resorting to brutality to enforce it. Now, Cape Town's policies on homeless people defy logic or humanity in a constitutional democracy that upholds the equal rights of all, and criminalizing people who are among the most vulnerable and marginalized in society is unconscionable. Brett, good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
This is quite outrageous from what I can, you know, understand from having read and seen some of the issues and, you know, what's happening in Cape Town with regards to the homelessness, this policy in particular, the homelessness policy. Why is it so brutal?
Well, I mean, the policy is brutal because it criminalizes homelessness in a way that doesn't address or doesn't provide any solutions. So it makes it criminal to occupy or to sleep in a public place or to sit in a public place, and it empowers the City of Cape Town's law enforcement officers to tell you to leave an area and never come back. I mean, it's got remnants of kind of Group Areas Act, Separate Amenities Act in it. It feels like apartheid legislation. Mm. Now, the reason why it's brutal is because, you know, there is no alternative. If you are homeless, it's a human condition that you must be in at some place at all times. You know, you can't float around in space. So you are being criminalized for a human condition, which is that you must sleep somewhere, you must sit somewhere, and you must be somewhere. And if you don't have a private place to do any of those things, then you will do them in a public place. So the city should be focusing on offering alternatives, providing accommodation and the social services needed to enable people to find their journey back, you know, or their path, the path that they wanted to lead, to get back onto that path. But criminalizing a human condition is unconstitutional, but it's certainly immoral.
Absolutely. So one of our listeners actually alerted us to a story about the poor blind man who was about to lose his home, and with that comes the fact that he has a dying father and a family, all due to be kicked out because of this. And this just shows zero empathy with regards to how the city is being run.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a massive, you know, as I've been campaigning in Cape Town over the last couple of months, there is a massive amount of pressure on families, low-income and middle-income families, arising out of very high municipal accounts, water and electricity accounts. And in my, you know, in my work that I was doing in Mitchell's Plain, I was introduced to this family where, you know, the gentleman is blind and the whole family is living off his disability grant. And the city had gone as far as issued summons, taken default judgment, and issued a warrant of execution to attach his furniture and personal belongings in order to settle a water account. Now, I mean, I'm a lawyer by profession, so I know what will happen is the sheriff will come and remove his furniture, sell it on public auction. Secondhand furniture, you know, doesn't raise a lot of money in public auctions. They will never settle that debt. And the next step after they've applied whatever amounts they raise in public auction from the sale of his furniture, they will then come for his house. So I'm outraged because water and electricity are basic services that should never be so unaffordable that you are actually at risk of losing your house because you can't afford to pay the water bill.
Wow. That's, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. What happens to people when they are totally unable to, especially in a case like this, he can't earn any money. He's got an entire family relying on the pittance that he's basically getting. And And people are expected to actually find some way to do this. It's really hard to understand how government actually would expect that. Now, the city council, which is not only at ease with this very radical inequality, but they intend on keeping things this way.
Yeah, I mean, they've made it very clear that they have no intention of restructuring the tariff system, all the water bills, all the water tariffs. I've written to the director of revenue in the city, asking him not to proceed with the warrant of execution. So in other words, not to remove the furniture of that blind man and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And also a number of other people who brought me summonses that they had received. I've written to him and also asked him to intervene and to stop the attorneys from now taking default judgment and proceeding to warrant of execution against those families. Because there's a couple of things. I mean, first of all, as I say, water, access to water and electricity is a human right. It's a basic service that city must provide, and it should never be so unaffordable that you're at risk of losing your home. Secondly, these people are not, they're not aware of what they're receiving when the sheriff delivers the summons, that actually the next step is a default judgment, and there's your credit record if you had a credit record, and that you can, then the following step is, once there's a default judgment against you, your furniture, your TV, and ultimately your house could be taken from you. So they get these summonses and they don't really understand what they need to do, which is to contact the attorneys to make some arrangement to prevent the next steps taking place in the legal process. So the city is, I think, is quite abusive in the way they are treating the residents that they're elected to serve.
Yes. And also, I mean, we're in a situation right now, I mean, we've spent such a long time under lockdowns, which made things even more difficult for people across the board. So isn't that being taken into consideration as well?
Well, you would think so. And I mean, people are unemployed. People have lost their jobs because of COVID. There is very little employment available. The city has shut down building developments, because of the lack of infrastructure capacity. So the construction sector, which creates a lot of jobs on construction sites, but also in the supply chain and for the small subcontractors, those building developments are not taking place because the city can't provide the bulk infrastructure. So the city has created an environment where there is no job creation. We've had COVID, which has closed a lot of businesses, in particular in some of our sectors that are important in Cape Town, like tourism,
mm-hmm.
The tourism sector. So people are out of work. But on top of that, the city has over-recovered because of this fixed water levy that they introduced during the drought.
Yes.
It was meant to be a temporary levy during the 2 years of drought, but it's become a permanent fixture. They've over-recovered in their revenue projections 8 billion rand. So they had a revenue expectation or projection from water, and they've over-recovered by, it's almost 9 billion rand, it's 8.8 billion rand. So it's not as if there isn't surplus revenue in the city's coffers that they can use to assist families who are unable to work because of COVID or because of disability or because there's just a lack of jobs.
Yeah, that would show a little bit of compassion. But in saying that, there's these similarities to what is happening with regards to the Palestinians. And that in itself is scary because, you know, there's always been this sort of support from South Africa to the Palestinians, and obviously the Palestinians reciprocate. And now when looking at this situation, it's almost as if we're seeing the same thing happen here.
It is a persecution. I mean, I've experienced it as a persecution. I saw today when there was a protest against some of the unjust bylaws, and it reminds me of the persecution of the Palestinian people, and it reminds me of living in South Africa in the 1980s. You know, I was a student in the 1980s, and when we protested against unjust laws, we were met by the violence of the state defending those unjust laws.
Mm.
Now you have unjust laws in the city of Cape Town criminalizing homelessness, criminalizing occupation of land. And when there was a protest against those unjust laws, those protesters were met with violence today, with stun grenades and apparently rubber bullets. But I mean, it takes you back to the 1980s, but I've engaged with the ambassador of Palestine really recently. I haven't visited Palestine or Israel for that matter, but it is a persecution, and compare it to the persecution of the Palestinians, I mean it's a legitimate comparison to make.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things is that we're seeing a very divided city, you know, rich and poor, racial divide, and then also a religious divide. Doesn't this make for a very unsustainable city as well?
I think the city administration, the way they're governing, is creating the division, because I think the people of Cape Town are generally far more compassionate, far more generous of spirit, far more tolerant of each other and different cultures and different religions than our government is. So I feel like we have a government that's out of alignment with the true spirit of the majority of the people of Cape Town. But this path that they are on in dividing us on almost every level, race, religion, culture, socioeconomic conditions, those divisions are unsustainable, and it is poor leadership, it is poor judgment, and it is some sort of political ideology that I don't recognize in democratic South Africa, and I hope that the people of Cape Town will reject it on the 1st of November, because it is putting us on a path of collision, and it is creating an obstacle to progress for all of us, not just those of us who are affluent or middle class. We are all going to suffer the consequences of this government and the obstacles and the divisions that they're sowing.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for your time and keeping us updated with what's happening, your views on this particular issue as well. And I'm sure that many people in Cape Town, resonate with what you're saying, because from what we're seeing on the news here, you know, I'm sitting in KZN, so obviously seeing what is going on reminded me of apartheid as well, having lived through that as a young person. So I'm sure that people in Cape Town are seeing the same thing, and it can't be pleasant for them. So hopefully we see change come within the next 2 or 3 weeks, I should say.
I hope so too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.